Are you feeling stuck or in a holding pattern with your business or life, and you're not doing the things you want or love? Then at some point, you're going to be faced with a decision. You'll either choose to keep living in your comfort zone and risk a life of mediocrity, or increase your courage, step into your power, and forge into the unknown, where everything new becomes possible. If you're truly ready to live masterfully, then you need Ken D. Foster's newest book, The Courage to Change Everything, Strategies and Wisdom to Transform Your Life One Day at a Time. This powerful but simple guide provides you with 365 days of life-transforming wisdom, profound questions, and action steps that will increase your strength and open the doors to success. Stop wondering why your business or life isn't working. The answers are available now. Imagine if you had more courage or another chance to start following your dreams. To pick up your copy of The Courage to Change Everything, visit thecouragetochangeeverything.com. That's thecouragetochangeeverything.com.
There comes a time when you know you need to restart and regain control of your life. A time to seek freedom from the anxiety, addiction, and other issues that may be bringing you down. A time to heal and reemerge as the real you. Villa Kalima is a holistic residential recovery program exclusively for women for individualized treatment. Villa Kalima offers proven clinical and holistic therapies for the mind, body, and spirit to assure sustainable recovery. Villa Kalima focuses on healing the cause, not temporarily masking symptoms. It's the only way to truly recover and find yourself again. Villa Kalima is located in a beautiful, peaceful, resort-like setting and is a licensed and accredited residential treatment center accepting a variety of health insurances. Start your healing and renewal today by calling Villa Kalima in La Costa, California at 760-814-8214. 760-814-8214. Villa Kalima, a place for transformation.
It's time to take a journey. To find your courage, break through your limits, and master your destiny. It's time for Ken D. Foster's Voices of Courage. Ken brings you some of the most courageous people on the planet that will inspire greatness within you and change your life for the better. It's time to see the unseeable, know the unknowable, and do the impossible. It's time for Voices of Courage. And here's your host, Ken D. Foster.
Well, hello and welcome, everybody. This is Ken D. Foster, your host for the Voices of Courage show. Hey, listen, have you noticed that we may have some fundamental problems in America and around the world when it comes to courageous leadership, wisdom, and understanding that maybe even the purpose of life? We have had few leaders in government who are leading from truth, wisdom, and courage. Most leaders in government today seem to have their own agendas. But what is that what really makes America great or the world great? No, I don't think agendas make us great. It separates us and keeps us divided. And as you may know, I am a spiritual activist. We were all born with a purpose, and that purpose is to know thyself. So, you know, this is kind of a deep thought. If you really give it some thought, it has some deep implications. What does that mean to really know yourself? Well, if you take time to really understand what that means, that's really where wisdom comes from. And listen, when we start to know ourselves, then we have a responsibility, I believe, to lift other people up, to serve in some capacity. You know, yeah, we really have a duty to help our fellow citizens raise themselves into a way that empowers them, that enlightens them, that helps them to have a great life in the pursuit of happiness. But agendas seem to do the opposite of that, because a lot of times they're self-serving and they lead us down a path to destruction for not only ourselves, but our communities and our nation. You see, there's only one force that unites us, and there's only one way we can all be successful. And that force is called truth. And I'm not talking about relative truth as to what you think I should believe or what you think I should act a certain way or do certain things. I'm thinking about a truth which puts our divinity first. What is divinity? It's our inner knowing. And we stop trying to control other people, places, and things when we tune into the truth. So when we pursue our inner truth or intuition, as some call it, We are led to right choices in every circumstance. Why? Because truth has an energy about it. It has a vibration to it, right? When you tune into the truth, you feel it. You go, yeah, this is right. This is the right way to go. And, you know, agendas have the opposite effect, right? They just are in it. They are pursued for why? Why do we pursue our agendas? Well, you know, maybe to make money, maybe to feel superior to somebody, maybe to control, maybe to have more than the next guy. I don't know what it is, but there's a lot of reasons for agendas. But I will say this, they all take us away from the truth. So imagine a leader who leads from their inner wisdom and they let go of agenda and do what's right for the people they serve. Imagine a leader who makes wise choices consistently instead of decisions which are based in fear and probably more. A lot of times those decisions are based on maybe even getting approval or getting reelected. But are they really based in fact, in truth, in wisdom? You know, I've asked myself this many times. Why is common sense so uncommon in our leaders? And the answer is simple. They have very little developed wisdom and courage. Therefore, they don't really know what the truth is. Let me give you an example. You know, in my opinion, we've lost our way in health sciences. Why? Because we're not pursuing that truth. The health system is based on finding a pathogen in the body and then destroying it. The truth is we have bodies which heal themselves when we give them the proper nutrition, the proper exercise, proper sunlight, proper environments that are not filled with toxins, right? Try it. I know I have in my life, I know our family lives in a toxin-free environment. Why? Because we made the effort. We read labels on food substances. We all exercise. We all watch our mind, watch our thoughts. We tune in. We quiet our thoughts. We meditate. We do things that like empower us and create us into these amazing beings. That, listen, we're not perfect by any means. We all make mistakes. That's how we learn. But we are not afraid to pursue the proof, the truth. So in our healthcare systems, you know, the FDA has taken over and they have allowed companies to sophisticate our products with sugar, with salts, added fats, chemicals that our bodies don't even know what to do with. Then we're prescribed drugs to cure the symptoms. And why do we do that? Why do we allow that? It's crazy. Listen, we can all have great health, but we have to stop turning our inner wisdom over to individuals that are telling us how to run our lives, what to do, and what not to do. We really, you know, Google is amazing. We can Google anything. The information's out there. But the problem with information is that a lot of times it has an agenda, and the agendas might be to sell you something. The agendas might be to move you in a direction for like a politician might want to sway you some way. Maybe another country wants to sway us in a certain way. So how do you know what's right or wrong? Well, the only way that you can know what's right for you is to be able to slow down, to succeed, tune into that inner wisdom, and start making consistent choices from a place of courage and, I'd say, love. So if you let go of some of your agendas, maybe you can tune into that on a daily basis. Because listen, if we are all started to use this time to really pursue what the truth is for us, whether it be in your relationship, in your health, in your business, in your products and services you're consuming, tune in. Is this really moving you forward and empowering you? Or is this something that's taking you away from what you want? And we all want the same thing, by the way. We all want to feel safe and secure. We all want to have good friends, and we all want to be healthy. We all want to have a sense of happiness and joy in us. Most of us that aren't psychopaths want to help other people to lift them up and to do what's right for them and not infect them with agendas or worse, that lowers their health, lowers their esteem, and lowers the power of who they are. again, it all kind of goes back to truth. Who are you at the core of your being? Ask yourself that. And are you following what that core, that inner guidance is telling you? Well, like I said in the beginning, you know, a lot of decisions are made in this world, and they're unhealthy choices for a lot of people. And they make those because they have undeveloped inner truth, inner wisdom. They have a lot of beliefs that I believe kind of create a rust over the soul. And when you're not tuning into that, when you're just running on other people's agendas or what you were told, this is the way it should be, or this is the way it is, then you're not really free. You're really a slave to other people, places, and things, and their beliefs, and what you should or shouldn't do. But for people listening to this show, I know you want to be free. So I hope you'll take this time today to maybe go on my website, by the way. I've got, if you go to kendfoster.com/resources, I have a couple of gifts for you there. I have a book that is called Release, Renew, Evolve, helps you get rid of all the past ways of thinking so that you can clear your mind of other people's agendas. And I also have it's a meditation guide that teaches you how to meditate. So I've got some articles from MIT and Harvard and Stanford to tell you the benefits of meditation. I give you specific instructions from some of the master teachers of how to sit and hold your body and how to go deep within yourself. And then there's some classes there that you can take. So anyway, kendfoster.com/resources. And last but not least, before I get to my guest, I want to let you know I have a new book out. It's called The Courage to Change Everything, Daily Strategies and Essential Wisdom to Awaken Your Inner Genius. You can also get that at couragetochange.us. Hope you check it out. All righty. Listen, I am so excited. I've been trying to get this fellow on my show for a long time. We've had it on our agenda for a long time. He's a busy guy. His name is Jim Higdon, and Jim is the co-founder of Cornbread Hemp, the first Kentucky company to offer USDA certified organic CBD products. He's a Kentucky native and a graduate of Center College, Brown University, and Columbia University Graduate School of Journalism. He's an author of nonfiction books. I'll give you a couple of them, The Cornbread Mafia and The Nearly Forgotten History of Portland, Kentucky. As a journalist, he has covered the cannabis policy for Politico and Kentucky News for the Washington Post. And in 2018, him and his cousin started Cornbread Hemp. Hey, Jim, welcome to the show. Great to have you here.
Hey, Ken. Thanks for having me. It's quite an intro. Thanks so much.
Wow. All right. Cornbread Hemp. I love the name. Where'd you get the name? Let me just start there.
So look, I come from bourbon country in central Kentucky. And when I was growing up, my hometown was the headquarters of what the federal government said was the largest domestic marijuana syndicate in American history. And it was a bunch of country guys growing, like 70 Kentucky men arrested on 30 farms in 10 states with what the police said was 200 tons of marijuana. And this group, the syndicate of cannabis growers, the federal government prosecutors referred to them in this press conference as the Cornbread Mafia. And Cornbread Mafia as a concept, as a name, really sort of ricocheted around the world on headlines and in news reports, and was this source of notoriety of my hometown as I was in middle school, high school, and off to college. I went to Brown, like you said. When I was up in the Northeast, I met all these great, smart, intelligent people from all over the country, all over the world. And a lot of them, most of them, had no interest in finding Kentucky on a map, just had no interest in Kentucky at all. I was the only person from Kentucky that ever met. And they didn't have much concern about me or my background, except when I would talk about this cornbread stuff, they would suddenly get really interested. And so I knew that this story had some currency in the world. And I wanted to be a writer. I went to the Columbia Journalism School and learned how to take my natural writing skills and apply them into the real world as journalism, and managed to go home back to my hometown on a book contract and write this story about how my hometown became the headquarters of this thing called the Cornbread Mafia. It really kind of emerged out of the country Catholic culture that I come from. During Prohibition, there were nine distilleries in my little county, and they were all shuttered as a result of Prohibition, alcohol prohibition. And so the Catholic men that were put out of work had a choice to make, whether to let their family starve or to break the law doing what they knew how to do as moonshiners and bootleggers. And so they're created, that created a culture of lawbreaking that a couple of generations later became marijuana cultivation and the cornbread mafia. So I jumped into the story, was the first person to really crack the code of silence surrounding it. I was able to write this book and bring it to the world for everyone to see in a very fair, honest, straightforward way. And then that propelled me into a journalism career, like you said, where I covered cannabis policy for Politico. And other outlets too, Al Jazeera, Thrillist. And then I was the freelancer for the Washington Post when news broke in Kentucky. I was the guy on the case. So that was my journalism career for several years as the book was out. And it was in the course of reporting on the 2018 Farm Bill, the legalization of hemp, that I realized the opportunity for starting a business and doing starting a CBD brand the right way based on the full 250 years of Kentucky hemp growing traditions that that no one else had really claimed as their own. All the hemp companies, all the CBD companies that I was seeing at the time in 2018, and really even now, are running from the history of hemp and want to present hemp products, CBD products, as something that's brand new, that's something that just emerged in 2018. And in Kentucky, we know that's not true. We've been growing hemp since 1775. And it really is a parallel sort of emblematic crop of Kentucky agricultural excellence. It goes right alongside Kentucky bourbon being the best whiskey in the world and Kentucky horses being the fastest horses in the world because of the particular agricultural climates that are agricultural properties that we have here in Kentucky.
Well, you know, as I was alluding to prior to our show, I was saying, you know, Kentucky's one of the greenest states. Now, green to me represents growth and vitality. So let's talk a little bit about growth of the industry, the corn, the hemp industry itself, and the vitality that's behind this business right now. I really think the stigma is pretty much going away these days, at least out here in California. I don't know how it is across the country as far as using hemp products. And we use, I have hemp products here in my home that we use for reducing stress. We also use it for reducing pain in the body. I have an 85-year-old mom that uses it, and it really helps her a lot. So, you know, and when I started using it, I was like, wow, this stuff is really amazing. It actually really works. And is the stigma still there? Is that what's going on with that?
Well, you know, in California, you've got about a 20-year head start on the rest of the country. I don't have to tell you or your audience that California legalized medical marijuana in 1996. Kentucky has not yet legalized medical marijuana, even though we're a leader in the hemp space. So there remains some stigma locally, but it's dissolving by the day. To give you a sense of a national snapshot on stigma and CBD products in general, cornbread hemp, as you said, our company is a seller of full spectrum CBD products. We ship nationwide. Our flagship products are USDA certified organic CBD oils. But if you look at the Gallup poll, a Gallup survey that was released a little less than a year ago, July last year, showed that 11% of Americans are using CBD products, according to their survey. I think it was of 3,000 and change CBD users. But when you break that down by region, you see Western states at 21%, the Midwest and the East at 11%, and the South notably at 14%, greater than the East and the Midwest, but not nearly Western state level CBD usage, which is a really interesting data point. It suggests that CBD usage is higher in states with legal marijuana than in states without, where you would think that maybe the demand for CBD products would be more pent up in states that still have prohibition. But it actually looks like in states with legal cannabis, like California, Colorado, Oregon, Washington State, the people in those states are more used to seeing cannabis as a regular part of their lives. So
yeah, I believe there's a little more education, and the minds have been, we've done a lot of educating out here in California on the pros and cons of using hemp, which I really like to get into. I would like to know your opinion on what can we use hemp for, and what should we not use hemp for?
Well,
we use CBD for? Let's talk about that. Let's go CBD. Okay.
Sure. So, Ken, you're going to get me in a little bit of trouble. And as you know, the FDA has not weighed in on these regulations. So myself as a brand owner, this is really prickly for me because I'm a former journalist and very aware of my First Amendment rights as an American citizen. However, the FDA is very concerned about brand representatives like myself sharing too much too soon about what CBD can be great for. We have a lot of customers who give us lots of reviews. We just passed 300 reviews on our website from verified customers who reached out to tell us that we have a great product. A lot of those customers are buying our product to address concerns that they have, with a variety of things that match what the public is saying about CBD. So going back to that Gallup poll, which from last year, which it corresponds with a Consumer Reports poll that also came out last year, a Consumer Reports survey, the top three reasons that people are using CBD, according to Gallup and Consumer Reports, are pain, anxiety, and insomnia. Inflammation is also on that list. So pain, anxiety, and as a sleep aid, according to published data, is what CBD users are turning to CBD for. What we do at Cornbread Hemp that sets us apart from other CBD companies is, first, we're achieving the standard of the USDA organic program, which, as everyone knows, is a very high standard to ensure that our product labels are accurate in terms of the cannabinoid content in the product. And it's also free of contaminants. There's no pesticides as a general rule with organic products. But then we take that a step further and do lab tests for heavy metals and residual solvents and microbials like bacteria, molds, and fungus to ensure a very clean, contamination-free product at a very high level.
How would we get heavy metals in a cannabis product? How does that happen?
Very good question, Ken. I'll tell you all about it. So hemp is one of its great features as a plant is as a bioaccumulator, which means it really leaches up all of the nutrients and chemicals and compounds in the soil around it, up into its stem and through its leaves and flowers. It's such a great bioaccumulator that in the 90s, scientists in Ukraine used hemp as a phytoremediator at Chernobyl to try to get some of the cesium out of the ground. It's since been used in brownfield remediations and other places where people are trying to get impurities out of the ground. Hemp is a great way to pull that out because hemp is a bioaccumulator. Now, a lot of hemp products sold in America are sourced from hemp and CBD in other countries, particularly China. I've seen news reports that say that 70% of CBD products in America are from hemp produced in China. And the regions in China where hemp is produced are also notorious for heavy metal contamination. And if there's heavy metal contamination in the field or in the water supply, that can get into the hemp product. And the way we're consuming hemp products as CBD products now is as a concentrate, as an extract. And as we extract the cannabinoids out of a hemp plant, we're also, if there's any contamination or impurities, we're also extracting those contaminants and then concentrating those contaminants if a product isn't going through the proper safety channels like we conduct at Cornbread. So what the concern is if a brand is not testing for heavy metals, they could be exposed to heavy metals, and that's a bad thing.
That is a bad thing. You know, we have a lot of discussion right now on the vaccinations that are going on and the heavy metals that are in there. So I know that, I'm not an expert on heavy metals, but I know that all the research I've done basically says we don't want that in our bodies. So I'm really happy to hear that we have an organic product that has been tested for heavy metals that we can use safely in our lives. All right, so you kind of skated my issue. What can we use the product for? So I got to come back to that, man, because it's like, you know, and I don't want you to get yourself in trouble. I'm wondering, you know, though. Like I said, we use it in our home for you know, reducing stress and also for pain relief. Is it that what can we use it for? You know, what is the FDA saying we should be using it for? Maybe that's a better question.
Well, the answer to that is nothing. So the FDA has not approved CBD for anything. And so that's not true. The FDA has approved CBD isolate drug product called Epidiolex for certain juvenile.
Okay, so let me ask you it this way. What has the research been coming back and saying about some of the benefits of using CBD? Can we talk in those terms, the research?
Sure. Yeah, so general terms in terms of research, not directly tied to our product. We've learned, science has learned just recently of a whole new system in our body called the endocannabinoid system that is not taught in medical schools, but apparently appears to be a very real thing, a series of receptors that are aligned with the nervous system that communicate directly with cannabinoids, whether those are endogenous cannabinoids produced inside the body or phytocannabinoids produced by the cannabis plant. We've got these receptors, two different kinds of them, a CB1 and a CB2 receptor located throughout our body. CB1 receptors seem to be concentrated in the brain and in the gut, and CB2 receptors seem to be all around the body. And THC seems to bind well with the CB1 receptors, and CBD seems to bind well with both types, but particularly the CB2 receptor. And the goal of the endocannabinoid system appears to be to communicate with other systems in the body to bring them back into balance. So the reason why it appears that CBD helps with this wide variety of conditions is because all of those conditions are due to imbalances in the system or inflammation in the system one way or another. And the endocannabinoid system, when triggered by phytocannabinoids, can help communicate to those systems and bring them back into balance. So for instance, with sleep, it does not appear that CBD acts like a traditional sedative. It seems to be that CBD helps regulate the wake-sleep cycle. So you stay asleep when you need to sleep, and you're awake and alert when you need to be alert. And it doesn't necessarily knock you out like a sleeping pill typically would. Now, if you take too much CBD, it can certainly lead to lethargy and grogginess in the morning. So I don't want to suggest that it does not have sedative qualities, but at the appropriate dose, it appears that CBD regulates the wake-sleep cycle as opposed to just knocking you out.
So where do consumers go to find out the right dosage for themselves, whether or not it's going to help with a certain condition they may have? Who's the one that is giving them that information for the consumer?
So on our website at Cornbread Hemp, we run a really good blog. I utilize my writing background and journalism background to really help with informational aspects of this. So if anyone is interested in these particular topics, the ones you just mentioned are things that we're covering. We also have, as a member of our board of advisors, a board-certified oncology pharmacist named Dr. Leslie Mudd. And Dr. Mudd is writing blog posts for us on dosage guides, on potential drug interactions, these sorts of nuanced health questions that lots of people have about CBD as people are new to it. If someone would like a sort of a neutral arbiter of information about studies, research, and applications for CBD, there's a great nonprofit in California called Project CBD. I believe their website is projectcbd.org. Lots of great information at Project CBD about current research on the topic and application and what to look for in the marketplace.
So it's productcbd.org. Is that it?
Project CBD. Yes. Okay.
And also, while we're giving out websites, Jim, how do they get a hold of you?
Oh, thanks. Well, we're at cornbreadhemp.com, and we're also connected on all of our social media platforms at cornbreadhemp. That's at cornbreadhemp on Instagram and Twitter, cornbreadhemp on Facebook and LinkedIn. Whatever your preferred social media platform is, you can reach out there or on our website at cornbreadhemp.com.
That's great. Well, listen, I've got a few more minutes with our interview. I'd like to ask you two more questions, maybe three.
Sure.
First one is, what products are available at Cornbread Hemp? That would be my first question to you.
Well, that's a great question. Our flagship products are our USDA certified organic CBD oils. Like you said, we're one of only a handful of companies in the whole country who have achieved this high level of quality control to be able to put the USDA organic seal on our products. We also have CBD creams, lotions that are full spectrum. So our lotions are very popular, especially these days with dry hands that come with lots of hand washing. CBD lotion really takes the red out. And we've got a really great product. What makes our CBD lotion different in the marketplace is it's a full spectrum lotion that's not a salve. So it's a water-based lotion. It doesn't leave an oily residue. And that gets the CBD into the skin a lot better than a salve that kind of sits on top of the skin. And then we have capsules and a pet product. CBD capsules are really popular with a certain set of our customers. And we've got a lot of dog and cat owners who buy our CBD for pets.
That's awesome. We've had a lot of shortages around the nation, lots of stuff. Are these products available right now?
We're in stock and ready to ship. We ship any order that comes in by 11 a.m. usually ships out same day. So we haven't experienced any supply chain shortages, thank goodness. We're stocked on all of our necessary items.
That's awesome. That's exactly what I wanted to hear. All right. Well, Jim, I want to thank you so much for being here and informing us on this. You know, I tell you, you and I could spend another half hour, 40 minutes just diving deeper and deeper into this. So I hope you come back and share some more as we move along with the hemp industry. And it seems like you're in the cutting edge, the leading company in that area. So I really appreciate you being here, Jim, taking your time.
Thanks so much, Ken. I really appreciate you having me on.
All righty. Thank you so much. All righty. We'll be right back.
We'll be back with more Voices of Courage with Ken D. Foster. Learn more about Ken, how to be a guest on the show, and sponsorship opportunities by visiting voicesofcourage.us.
Are you feeling stuck or in a holding pattern with your business or life, and you're not doing the things you want or love? Then at some point, you're going to be faced with a decision. You'll either choose to keep living in your comfort zone and risk a life of mediocrity, or increase your courage, step into your power, and forge into the unknown, where everything new becomes possible. If you're truly ready to live masterfully, then you need Ken D. Foster's newest book, The Courage to Change Everything, Strategies and Wisdom to Transform Your Life One Day at a Time. This powerful but simple guide provides you with 365 days of life-transforming wisdom, profound questions, and action steps that will increase your strength and open the doors to success. Stop wondering why your business or life isn't working. The answers are available now. Imagine if you had more courage or another chance to start following your dreams. To pick up your copy of The Courage to Change Everything, visit thecouragetochangeeverything.com. That's thecouragetochangeeverything.com.
There comes a time when you know you need to restart and regain control of your life. A time to seek freedom from the anxiety, addiction, and other issues that may be bringing you down. A time to heal and reemerge as the real you. Villa Kalima is a holistic residential recovery program exclusively for women for individualized treatment. Villa Kalima offers proven clinical and holistic therapies for the mind, body, and spirit to assure sustainable recovery. Villa Kalima focuses on healing the cause, not temporarily masking symptoms. It's the only way to truly recover and find yourself again. Villa Kalima is located in a beautiful, peaceful, resort-like setting and is a licensed and accredited residential treatment center accepting a variety of health insurances. Start your healing and renewal today by calling Villa Kalima in La Costa, California at 760-814-8214. 760-814-8214. Villa Kalima, a place for transformation.
We're back with Voices of Courage. Learn more about Ken, how to be a guest on the show, and sponsorship opportunities by visiting voicesofcourage.us. And now your host, Ken D. Foster.
Well, welcome back, everybody. Now I'm going to introduce my second guest today. And, you know, today is a great day to really think about taking your business, your life to a completely new level. We have some time. You know, a lot of us are still in lockdown. And if that's you, then this is a great time to really think about what is it that has been stopping you from doing the dreams that you really want to do, to doing those things that would really empower you, to make your soul, you know, come alive. I'm working with a lady right now. She's a homemaker, right? She's got four kids, and you know, the kids are getting older now, and she's like, "Wow, I really have a dream I want to do." And you know, at first she was really afraid to do the dream. All right, well, gosh, I'm afraid to tell anybody that I want to do something outside of just being a mom. So we had to go through some belief levels, right? And take off this belief, take off that belief, take off the next belief, right? So now, but now she's generating a new business that I believe will be a business that you'll be reading about soon. So it'll be around nationwide. So, you know, this is the time to do your dream. And the reason I'm saying that is I have the founder today of Make a Meaningful Movement, which I love the title. Her name is Lynn Golader. I hope I get that right, Lynn. And, you know, the goal of Make Meaningful Movement is to help educate leaders and entrepreneurs and creatives to gain expertise on strategic storytelling, mission-driven leadership, and practical steps on how to use meaning to build your brand, your business, your audience, you know. So I love this. Lynn's been an entrepreneur for 20 years. She's been using her talents and passions to build successful businesses, and she works with a lot of people right now that are doing like that story I just told you, the young gal I'm working with, to pivot their careers and to take it to the next level. Lynn, great to have you. Yay.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm honored.
Yeah. Where are you located?
So we're based in Detroit. And okay. We have been sheltering in place now for 9 weeks, I believe. And, you know, it's funny because I've been in marketing and public relations for a while. Before that, I was a journalist. And all the while, I've been focused on how people find meaning in the everyday. And I have a podcast called the Make Meaning Podcast that started a couple of years ago. And I just love hearing people's stories of how their meaning or their purpose drives the work that they do. So that's what the Make Meaning movement's all about. It sort of grew out of the podcast and the work that I do. And it's a really perfect time to launch this, which I couldn't have known, but it just turns out that a lot of people are either being forced to pause or they're choosing to pause, and then they're pivoting to something that means more to them than what they've been doing.
Well, you know, when I think about it, I think there's a lot of people out there that were stressed out in their jobs. I mean, let's face it. You know, I think they did studies like, I think it was as high as 80% of the people in the workforce had severe levels of stress. Mm-hmm. And stress for me, a lot of times it just tells me we're in the wrong place, the wrong time, doing the wrong things. I've been coaching people for 26 years now as a business strategist and life coach, because I believe we have to have balance in all areas of life if you want to move forward, right?
Totally.
So how does somebody pivot their career? Let's just talk about that.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting because I think we go for the safe bet. And so I know that I've always been a writer. And so, for example, I was really close to my dad. And when I wanted to do a Master of Fine Arts in creative writing and focus on poetry, he's like, "I'll pay for law school," you know, and because law is more of a guarantee. Who's going to pay somebody to write a poem, right? But I think that you have to go with what your core is telling you, what your soul is saying. So what do you love to do? What are you good at? What did you do when you were little? Because you just had to. You were just drawn to it time and time again. And it didn't feel like work. It just was what you needed to do. For me, that was writing. And I would carry around a little corduroy covered journal in the 1970s and just jot down little notes and skits and things like that. And so for me, when I'm out of alignment with myself, I know I need to get back to writing. There's no question. And so I think that the way that people need to pivot is to have an honest conversation with themselves and to kind of shelve those fears of I'm not going to make enough money or who's going to hire me or whatever, and just be true to themselves. You know, what is it that you love to do that you would do without being paid? And then we can figure out a way to make it earn some
money.
Well,
you know, you brought up a good point because in my first segment, I talked about to thine own self be true. And mm-hmm. I said in that segment, you know, a lot of people hear that, but they don't take it to heart.
Right.
What does that mean to be true to yourself for you? What does that mean?
Yeah, you know, I think that everybody has a different definition. But for me, it's about simplifying my days. You know, when I look at my calendar and there are 11 things I need to do, that's a little bit crazy. And so this whole reset over the pandemic has been a wonderful awakening for me to remember that I can't do everything and that I'm better when I focus on what I do best. I've always been a writer. And when I go astray, if I feel stressed or my schedule gets too packed, I have to go back to that place. That's about being true to myself. So I need to clear my calendar. I need to have time to read and to write. I need to make sure that my work contains opportunities for me to write. And that's a helpful reset. And I think once you know your meaning, which is what I help people with, then you can use that information to direct you in your work and career choices too.
I like that a lot. And especially because so many people are pivoting right now. They really have to maybe even start out with that place of why is it important for me to pivot now? And you know, I think that that one question could even lead you back to the meaning in your own life. What's your thought about that?
You know, I feel like we have sort of bookends in our life. So in the early years, we do what feels good, what comes naturally, what we're drawn to because we're just good at it. And then later on, hopefully we have the opportunity to retire and to say, well, now what do I want to do with my time? But in between, I think we get a little bit stuck and we make choices based on, you know, I want to have this size of a house, or I want to drive this kind of a car, or this is what I'm supposed to do. These are the careers that are valid. And I think we go astray. We really lose sight of who we are at the core. And I believe that every person is put on this planet to make a difference and with their own unique way of doing that. And if we're not really connected to what that is, then we're going to feel unhappy, stressed, like it's a drudge, you know, to get to work every day. So I think that it's a gift to give yourself at any point in your life, but the earlier, the better, to have that frank conversation about how can you make a difference? What can you do to find work that matters? I think that's really an important question.
I think it's a really important question to, especially today more than ever, because as we started out with saying, you know, 80% of the people in the workplace before COVID were basically stressed out, mm-hmm. it's not a time to create stress in your life. This is a time to let go of stressors. And why is that, by the way? Because, of course, stressors create problems within our own health, right?
Yes.
Right? You know that.
Yep.
So I think, you know, we really need to start stepping back and figuring out what is really important in our lives. I know you have something called the meaning proposition. Let's talk about that. How does that help people find out what's important mm-hmm. for themselves?
So it's actually the sentence you put together after you've figured out your meaning. So you go on this whole journey of, you know, what do you love to do? What do you believe? How did you come to those beliefs? These are like deep conversations that we have in workshops that I do and in coaching sessions. And we sort of peel back the layers and get, you know, beneath the surface of who you are. And then once you've identified what activity you would do if you weren't paid for it. And, you know, what do you love? What do you hate? And why? And you really start to articulate so much about who you are. Then you can come up with your meaning proposition, which is a simple sentence that really communicates what you were born to do. So for example, you know, I could say that I was born to use words and story to make others happy. That's a great meaning proposition. You know, I could rephrase it and say, I believe words can harm or can hurt, and I choose to use words to make the world a better place. You know, so those are examples of meaning propositions that come from who I am and what I want to do with that.
I can hear the skeptical mind right now saying, well, that's great. I can figure out what's important to me, but how do I make money doing this? And what's your experience with that?
You know, it's funny because I chose to be a journalist in the 90s when it was like the lowest of the low paying careers from the lists that I saw in my college. And I did it because I was propelled to do it. And the first year that I was working in New York City, I made $25,000, which was nothing at the time. And I had more money than I'd ever known what to do with, just because I was really happy with the work I was doing. I didn't have many needs. You know, I was young, I was in my 20s. And it's interesting because the more I've made, the less I've had, because all of a sudden I get trapped in this cycle. And so it's about articulating your values and then living by them. And so when I think back to that, and I think I was making that little, and yet I was so happy and I had plenty of money to travel and to do things I really didn't want for anything. And I think it comes with a perspective shift. And so, yeah, you know, you can have this meaning proposition and then you have to do the hard work of figuring out, you know, what kind of work can I find that will align with that? How can I write to make a difference? And there are plenty of jobs. It's just a matter of putting yourself in the position and talking to people who have the same values as you so that you find a fit and then the money starts to come. When you're in the right place, you make more than you need.
You do. And I know there's some people listening to this right now thinking, well, I'd really like to make a shift, but I really don't know what I can do. I don't know really what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And how am I going to get along? How am I going to survive? You know, all those kind of questions. Are those the questions that just stop people dead in their tracks? Or is that something we need to pursue?
Well, they can. I mean, that's fear talking. And we all have it. And I'm in the middle of my third pivot in my career. And each time that fear comes back, like this old familiar friend, like knocking at the door, and I like don't want to open it because I'm like, oh no, you're back. You know, I don't want to listen to you anymore. But the fears are there. You know, I have four teenagers and I have a beautiful home and not so an expensive suburb. And there's a lot at stake now. But I also think, you know, I don't know how much time I have on earth. So why shouldn't I use that to make the world better, to make myself happy, to set an example for my kids? And so sometimes you just have to leap. You know, the worst thing that happens is it doesn't take off. And so then I go into Starbucks and apply for a job, or I work at Walmart, which I don't want to do at this age, but I could. And so I know that there's always some way that I can end up bringing in money, but why not try to do it in a way that really fits with who I am?
So if I'm an entrepreneur and I'm starting out, let's say I just, you know, my corporate job's gone, or maybe I was a waitress, or maybe I was, you know, worked at a movie theater. Maybe I worked at concession stands at the stadiums, or maybe I was a healthcare worker, or, you know, a lot of hospitals don't have any patients anymore. Mm-hmm. All right. So I'm sitting here listening to this and thinking, what's my first step? What would you say?
Well, you know, we have these free Make Meaning hours, just an hour on Zoom, and we have these conversations. I have one on May 27th about the meaning of money. We've done them on why we work and on, you know, what is meaning? How do you find your meaning? And it's a great way to get involved. So at makemeaning.org, we have those programs and we offer little workshops. We can work one-on-one with people. But I think the first step is to just sort of, you know, sit there and explore what you want to do. What are you hungry for? What do you wish you could do? Because everybody has that. And if you are brave enough to ask yourself the question, the answer may surprise you. And so then it's just a process of sticking with it and breaking it down to see, well, who do I know who might know somebody in that field? What kind of jobs are there? There's lots on Google. So we can spend lots of time just searching for that information and then have the courage to just take a step and see what opens up. Because when you do what you love, there is enough money and there will be.
Well, let me ask you this then. What would you say is the most courageous thing that you've done in your life? What do you
That's
think
a good
that
question.
Is?
I was a mother of three little kids, ages 1, 3, and 5, and I divorced my husband. It was not a good match from the beginning. And that was in 2007 when the economy went down the toilet. And so that was courageous and scary and terrifying, frankly. And I was a journalist, and journalism was not doing well. And so I took a leap and I created this marketing and PR company that I've been doing for 13 years. And I had no idea if anybody would hire me. I didn't know if I'd keep my house. But I had a conversation with myself and I said, what is really the worst thing that happens? And so if I absolutely have no clients and nobody hires me and I have no money whatsoever and I lose my house, I'll move in with my parents with the three little kids, which is not what I wanted to do at that stage of life. But I knew I wouldn't be on the street. And once I knew that, I said, okay, I could face the worst. So let me try and make sure it doesn't happen. And that was a great motivator. Every time I've lost a client because of economic reasons or whatever, it motivates me to get more.
And that's really good. So let me ask you another question then, because that was really, I think that's very moving.
Thank you.
So as a result of making that decision to take the courage to just pivot and let go of what's not working, right. Who have you become as a result of that?
Well, I think I've become a better parent for sure. And I've written a bunch of books. So I've stayed true to my voice and put it out there. But you know, it was really important to me that I could raise my kids, and I believed that I could work from home and be their parent. And that was one of those meaning propositions that propelled me to create a business, because I could have gone out and looked for a job, although I knew lots of people getting laid off. But it's made me really aware and treasure this role of mother. And my kids have seen me be an entrepreneur, and they've seen that when you believe in yourself, anything is possible. And I'm really proud of that, you know. And I'll tell you something else. Somebody told me when my kids were little that they need you more when they're older. And now they're all teenagers. I have four teenagers. And I didn't believe it, but I know it to be true now. They want you around more. And so I'm even challenged today with kids between the ages of 14 and 18 to have to fit my work and life around them, because that's my value. And so that's helped me to crystallize what's important to me and to live by it.
That's really good. You know, you seem like a person that's pretty healthy, vital, and that type of thing. How do you take care of yourself so that you can take care of others?
That's a great question. And before the pandemic, I played a lot of tennis and I swam a lot of laps. And I take hikes in the woods. And since the pandemic, I take a lot of hikes in the woods with my kids, talking and just taking our time, even in the neighborhood, just walking around. And the funny thing is that I lost some weight during the pandemic, even though we're baking bread and we're eating a lot. My daughter's baking all the time. And I think it's because I don't have to wake to an alarm. The stress is gone. I'm not racing to meetings. And we're having this time together that's just open-ended. And I think that that's also made me healthier. So that's a reminder that after this ends, I hope I won't revert to those old ways, because even though I've simplified and I haven't been able to play tennis or swim, I think I'm a little healthier than I was before. It's kind of interesting.
Well, that's really an interesting point, because I think a lot of people just go, 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 go. And they're going from the job to the market, to the shopping, to the home, to the tennis court, to the gym, and we're just in this rat race, right? What happens if everybody just stops for a little bit, which we've been given the opportunity to do? How do people get a hold of you, Lynn, if they want to find out a little bit more about you?
Yeah, so they can find me at makemeaning.org, or they can also visit yourppl.com, which is my marketing company, Your People. And I'm everywhere. I'm on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, Lynn Galodner. If you say that you heard me on Voices of Courage, I'll be really excited. So please let me know that's how you came into contact with me. And I'd love to connect with anybody who's listening to the show.
That's great. Well, listen, we've got a little minute or two left here. A lot going on in the world. A lot of people really fearful. A lot of people wondering what's next. Is the economy going to crash? Is they going to lose their house? They're going to have a job to go back to? Is the government going to control their actions? They're going to have to wear a face mask for the rest of their lives? Are they going to get inoculated when they don't want to get inoculated? A lot of stuff's going on out there, right? Okay. You know, conspiracy theories, non-conspiracy theories, the left, the right, the middle, the center, everybody's got an opinion. All right. So you got the microphone. We're on 160 in 160 countries right now. What do you want to tell the world?
Oh, my goodness. What a nice question. And what a daunting question. Well, I think that we all just need to slow down and take a look at how we're living and ask ourselves if we want to be living that way. And I know there's a lot, I mean, you know, Americans are very fierce. We're very rebellious. We're independent. We want things the way we want them. And I'm no stranger to that. But I think that we just don't know enough about this virus to understand how things are going to unfold. And we're trying and we'll get there. And I know that life will be fine and we'll be able to hug again. But it's just a matter of sticking true to yourself and staying with your community. And I think everybody will be fine.
I think so too. And, you know, my vision of the new future is I'm giving lots of hugs. I'm getting at least 10 hugs a day. I'm in a place where we're back to baseball, football, basketball games, whatever we, you know, trips your trigger. But we're doing it, and we're much more conscious of the foods we're putting in our bodies. We're much more informed about what vaccinations do and don't do. We're much more informed about how to live mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually to be empowered and to live our purpose and stop pretending like the life is a dress rehearsal and start to really reconnect with ourselves. So that's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing a bright future with you. I'm so glad you were here today, Lynn. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
It's been great. I'd like to get to know you better. So I hope you can reach back out to me and connect with me.
I look forward to it.
Ken@kendfoster.com. And all of you can do that if you got questions or comments that you'd like to have answered on this show. All right, T. Well, listen, I'm going to wrap up here. You can pre-order my book again one more time. The new book is The Courage to Change Everything, Daily Strategies and Essential Wisdom to Awaken Your Inner Genius. And couragetochange.us is where you can get that. I'm always interested in what you have to say. So I hope you'll connect with me and follow me on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram. Just type in there, Voices of Courage or Ken D. Foster. You'll find me. Send your questions and comments to viewer@voicesofcourage.us. And until we meet again, continue to live a blessed life, fearless life, and a courageous life filled with lots of love, joy, and happiness. Don't forget to throw in a little wisdom there and work on that, because I think we all need to. All right. Take care.
Thanks for joining us for Voices of Courage with Ken D. Foster. Learn more about Ken, how to be a guest on the show, and sponsorship opportunities by visiting voicesofcourage.us. And we're always interested in what you have to say. So follow Ken on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or email your questions and comments to viewer@voicesofcourage.us. Also, you can find all of Ken's previous shows by visiting voicesofcourage.us. Be sure to join us next time as Ken brings more stories of courage that will inspire greatness within you and change your life for the better. Until next time, live courageously and see the unseeable, know the unknowable, and do the impossible. This has been Voices of Courage with Ken D. Foster.
Are you feeling stuck or in a holding pattern with your business or life, and you're not doing the things you want or love? Then at some point, you're going to be faced with a decision. You'll either choose to keep living in your comfort zone and risk a life of mediocrity, or increase your courage, step into your power, and forge into the unknown, where everything new becomes possible. If you're truly ready to live masterfully, then you need Ken D. Foster's newest book, The Courage to Change Everything, Strategies and Wisdom to Transform Your Life One Day at a Time. This powerful but simple guide provides you with 365 days of life-transforming wisdom, profound questions, and action steps that will increase your strength and open the doors to success. Stop wondering why your business or life isn't working. The answers are available now. Imagine if you had more courage or another chance to start following your dreams. To pick up your copy of The Courage to Change Everything, visit thecouragetochangeeverything.com. That's thecouragetochangeeverything.com.
There comes a time when you know you need to restart and regain control of your life. A time to seek freedom from the anxiety, addiction, and other issues that may be bringing you down. A time to heal and reemerge as the real you. Villa Kalima is a holistic residential recovery program exclusively for women for individualized treatment. Villa Kalima offers proven clinical and holistic therapies for the mind, body, and spirit to assure sustainable recovery. Villa Kalima focuses on healing the cause, not temporarily masking symptoms. It's the only way to truly recover and find yourself again. Villa Kalima is located in a beautiful, peaceful, resort-like setting and is a licensed and accredited residential treatment center accepting a variety of health insurances. Start your healing and renewal today by calling Villa Kalima in La Costa, California at 760-814-8214. 760-814-8214. Villa Kalima, a place for transformation.
Hi, this is Ken D. Foster. Are you an author or would-be author? If so, a few of my New York Times best-selling author friends Some of my book marketing strategist friends and I are going to be teaching you how to write, market, and launch your book to bestseller status. And get this, no cost to you. You're going to learn from the experts that I use, their formulas, and their simple steps to make your book a bestseller. So find out how to do this at couragetochange.us/invite. couragetochange.us/invite. There are, I think we have 12 master teachers in the class right now. You're going to learn things you never knew about book marketing. I can tell you that because I've been marketing books for the last 15 years, and I've learned a whole bunch from the experts that I brought on. Hope you'll join us at couragetochange.us.